All month, Morning Edition has pondered what makes a city great. So far, it's been big cities. But today, a place that is not a state capital, has no major university, but a strong sense of community, handsome natural landscape, civic pride, and the ability to solve problems that are often daunting to bigger cities. It kept popping up every time NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg asked about a great smaller city.
Here's how one resident describes her city.
It's welcoming. It's scenic, it's beautiful, it's bright, clean.
Well, those adjectives apply to lots of places. Here's another clue. Pardon me, boys, is this Chattanooga you're calling a great city? Chattanooga, Tennessee, population 150,000. Well, yes. For the past few decades, that town has been a hub of self-improvement. After the Civil War, Chattanooga became the largest industrial center in the South. By 1969, the federal government said it had the dirtiest air in the nation. The culprit? Heavy manufacturing. Then the economy tanked, thousands of jobs disappeared, and Chattanoogans decided it was time for a renaissance. How they pulled together as a community could be a model for bigger, better-known cities. Harry Austin is editor of the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Susan Robinson runs the Chattanooga Arts and Education Council. We asked them to describe their town, present and grungy past.
I had a downtown apartment, and I couldn't open my window. It didn't have air conditioning. It gets hot here in the summer, but if I opened my window, the vanilla-colored windowsill would look like it had been covered with a pepper shaker. And the porch was unusable. It took too long to clean every day. The air pollution, the particulate fallout was so bad.
Wow. So, Susan, how is the air these days? How's the water?
Well, I must say that in the morning when I'm walking, I get lots of clean air at 6:30 in the morning. It's quite nice.
And this is really the story of citizen involvement, isn't it? It's not. It is grassroots, but it's pretty rich grassroots because you've got an awful lot of wealthy people there in Chattanooga, people who love the town and wanted to see it be better.
Well, what happened, I think, was that in the mid-80s, when the city was really on its heels, we were looking for a way to revive ourselves. And we came together with the help of some public-private partnerships and created Chattanooga Venture, a civic organization that went around all around the city and the county, holding meetings, getting people to imagine, look, we're dying. What do you want the city to be, and how can we get it there?
Susan, were you involved in any of those meetings? Did you go to them?
I did. I was involved as a participant. The arts were always important to me, and I felt like we needed wonderful concerts, wonderful plays, and I went in just hoping that we would have more entertainment at night for downtown Chattanooga.
So this many years later, did you get that?
Oh, we do. It is just phenomenal downtown.
Here's what they did. They listened, then acted in concert. What makes Chattanooga different, we are told, is broad civic involvement. Deep-pocket locals and less endowed citizens pitching in together to make change. Example, Women in a Housing Project, using seed money from the Junior League, started Home Girls Catering. They cater meetings and parties throughout the town. A civic collaboration producing jobs and food. People wanted better housing, wanted their river back and greenways. Creative design put a long river walk from downtown to out of town, spaces for renewal, regeneration. Chattanooga talked about smart growth and quality of life before they became buzzwords. I have to tell you that I have been talking in this series about Paris, New York, Chicago, and Chattanooga does not leap to mind, you know?
Well, I have to tell you, I left here in 1970 to see some of the world and part of the states, and I never wanted to come back. It was a dirty, dead town. And when I came back in 75, it was still that way. And now I think that for quality of life, for pace of life, for a more leisurely pace of life, and for recreational opportunities and activities, that Chattanooga is a very nice place to be.
Where do you go, Harry, to see the heart and the soul of Chattanooga?
Well, for me, it's Walnut Street Bridge, which was an old, a very lovely iron bridge that had outlived its usefulness and it was going to be demolished. It stands on big limestone, cut limestone piers. And if you stand on the Walnut Street Bridge, a half mile span, now the longest walking bridge in the country, I think, you look back over the skyline of the city, back over the Riverwalk, back over the river parks, back over the aquarium, down the River Canyon, between the two mountains that touch the edges of the city on both sides, and a sunset, it's just a lovely sight. You have Signal and Lookout Mountain right over the city, and this very wondrous view of the skyline that now is walkable and alive, and it's a lovely place to be.
It's beautiful. That is one of my favorite places, too, but I'm going to kind of go from the outside looking down into the city. Chattanooga is actually the heart of the sandstone belt for rock climbing, and just 10 minutes outside the city, you can go to the top of a cliff, and it's absolutely quite phenomenal. You have the hawks soaring and just the peacefulness of the surroundings as being outside looking in. It's just the most wonderful spiritual avenue to set you at peace.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both so much. I just feel you've taken us to your city, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Susan. Thank you. Thank bye-bye.
Susan Robinson and Harry Austin. She is executive director of the Chattanooga Arts and Education Council. He's editor of the Chattanooga Times Free Press.
Pardon me.